When my brother and I were kids, we loved playing tag. And on this one occasion, our family had just arrived at a new hotel. We were staying on the 10th floor, and we raced into the game. My brother started by chasing me down the 10 flights of stairs. And as you can imagine, we started to gain some serious momentum. Now, I was ahead, but he was starting to close in. And as we hit the main floor, I was determined to dart ahead and take the win. I was inches away from the entrance of the hotel. And to my left, I noticed a man holding a large window squeegee. But it was too late for me. As I ran through the magnificent but transparent entrance, the plate of glass came down all around me. It was a storm of shattered glass. 20 stitches later, I was somewhat traumatized. While sometimes storms come at us a little more fiercely than running into something. I'll never forget receiving a phone call looking for a friend of mine who hadn't shown up to work. And it was noteworthy because my friend was very trustworthy and reliable, cared about his job. So something wasn't right. As I hung up the phone, I just had this intuitive sense that something just was off. So I jumped into my car and I drove to the place where I thought he had last been. And as I was turning around the street corner to where he was or where I thought he might be, there were blue and red lights everywhere. 138 Peel Street was surrounded with yellow tape. While my car was still running, I raced to the place where I thought my friend was, to the scene. Two police officers grabbed me, placed me in a cruiser, and it was in that moment that I learned that three of my friends had been murdered the night before. I lost a lifetime close friend, Scott Seabrook. He was 28 years old. I also lost a mutual friend, Pam, who was 22, a family friend, and also her father, her grandfather, who was 85, a spiritual elder in our church. The Toronto Sun had a front cover story entitled House of Horrors. And it was true. Terror had knocked on the door of my friends, and we had experienced and were experiencing a tremendous storm. In that moment, I was experiencing an incredible emotional earthquake. Quickly, without notice, a storm had erupted. I have found over my life, one of the things that has been a consistent consolation for me is music. Now, it's not just the music itself, but it's the faith and the hope within the song. Music has been a wonderful thing to soothe my soul. There has been one song in particular that has comforted me through various storms and through difficult times. It's called Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steps. It is on my top 10 list. The lyrics are fabulous. Someday we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter. The song is also quite uplifting. Just listen to this.
Be brighter. Someday.
There, do you feel uplifted? That's what we call an interlude. Well, today we're going to look at a song in which the psalmist understood what it was like for terror to knock at his door. And in the midst of a storm, he wrote a song. A song is sung, Psalm 46. And we're going to look at this together. Now, this song was sung as a community, as a declaration of faith and hope. So I will be using the plural we, and I would like to invite you to read the words in yellow font with me. So please stand and open your Bibles. And if you're like me, and you have a digital Bible, please go ahead and open your devices, iPhones, iPads, or eyeglasses, as we read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let me pray for us. Living God, our prayer today is that you would meet us in these next few moments just as we are and just where we are. May your Holy Spirit come and fill us with your presence and give us insight and wisdom. Help us to have an open heart and teachable posture to hear your voice today. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Summer Playlist, and we're looking at the top 10 songs from Jesus' songbook. Now, the Psalms were songs that Jesus listened to, but he didn't just listen to them. He was immersed in the Psalms because we know that they had a deep shaping in his life. And the Psalms were also used as the songbook for worship in ancient Israel. We've been talking about together as a community how the Psalms encompass the whole spectrum of human emotions. In a sense, it gives us permission to be able to feel our emotions and express them in community, from joy to pain and from despair to hope. In today's psalm, we're looking at a song that was part of a collection of the Sons of Korah. And the Sons of Korah were leaders of music in the temple in Jerusalem. And they've organized our psalm in three stanzas with declarations of trust. I want to encourage you to make these declarations your own, to personalize these psalms. In our psalm, the psalmist shows us that God provides shelter from our storms when we trust in him. Often the Psalms will begin with a lead verse. It's like an introduction to the theme of the psalm. And that's no exception with our psalm. So let's look at the theme, the big idea of what we're going to look at today in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now, right there, we learn that the psalm is about three things. It's about God, it's about trouble, and it's about how we're going to respond to it. God, I like the way the voice translation puts it. It says it this way: God is our shelter and our strength. When troubles seem near, God is near, and he's ready to help. So why run and hide? Now, why would anyone want to run and hide? Well, the sons of Korah knew what it was like to have terror knocking on their door. Scholars believe this psalm was written in the historical context of battle. Bordering nations were attacking Jerusalem. Now, when you are circled and attacked, fear is a natural response. I know from personal experience. When I was in high school, I was going to be an architect. And since I was going to be an architect, that took me into the technical wing as I was starting to take a drafting course. Now, in our high school, the tech wing is where the tough guys tended to hang out. And for the most part, I was okay until this one week. It was after hours. I was walking around a corner in the hallway, and three bullies start to circle around me. I was terrified. My heart was literally in my throat. And then Gary Goodrich showed up, also known as Big Daddy. Now, you might wonder, how could one person make three tough guys run? But you would have to know Gary. Gary was a world champion arm wrestler and later became a boxing champion, an Ultimate Fighting Championship contender, and a mixed martial artist warrior. So yes, three guys turn and ran. And this is an actual picture of Gary Goodrich. How about you? Are there times that you felt terrified in your circumstances? Are there things that make you anxious? In this psalm, the sons of Korah had lots of reason to fear and to be terrified. But they chose to write a song of hope. They decided to declare confidence in the chaos that encircled them. How did I overcome my fear of the three bullies? Gary Goodrich was present. Now, the three bullies were present too, but so was Big Daddy. Now, it's the same with the psalmist, but in a much more significant way. The psalmist offers us an invitation to respond to the storms in our life by declaring, "We will not fear." In verse 2 of our psalm, it says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake with their surging." Now, to understand the almost baffling confidence that the psalmist has in the midst of chaos, we just need to look back at the first verse, which says, "God is our shelter and strength. When troubles seem near, God is near, and he's ready to help. So why run and hide? The Bible often uses nature to describe inner emotions of our human experience. In our psalm, the psalmist uses the descriptions, the earth is giving way, the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. Water is also a common metaphor for chaos. It is a metaphor to describe catastrophic unraveling, raging and foaming. I mentioned there was a song that meant a lot to me. It was on my top 10 list. Well, my song made it into a recent film and the soundtrack, Guardians of the Galaxy. There is a climatic scene where the main villain of the film, Ronan, is attacking the planet Xandar. Now, the Xandarians are peaceful, human-like people who are being attacked and encircled. Everything is unraveling. There is a sense of despair until Peter Quill stands in a song of hope with a baffling sense of confidence. Let's watch this moment together.
People of Xandar, the time has come to rejoice and renounce your paltry gods. Your salvation is at hand. Isalga!
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Listen to these words. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Then bring it down hard.
Someday, put it together.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro. Me and you. Come on. Settle. Take it back.
What are you doing?
I so enjoy when Ronan says, "What are you doing?" Peter Quill's reasonable response would be fear. That would be a reasonable response. But he declares this baffling sense of confidence in the midst of the chaos that was clearly encircling him. In the second stanza of our psalm, there is a hopeful turn in the poem. The world is unraveling. Then the psalmist says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. This river is a picture of God's grace. There is not an actual river in Jerusalem. This river is a metaphor for a special place of divine presence in Jerusalem. The river with streams was the presence of God, the temple. And the temple was central in ancient Israel. It was the place where the Most High dwelt. This was the place from which the river of life flowed. Well, we started the series by looking at Psalm 1, where it says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water." God is the river with streams, a fountain of life and nourishment. God is in the city, and that is why Jerusalem is at peace. Now, today we no longer believe that God only makes his special presence known in a specific location, because Jesus is the very presence of God. That Jesus is the holy place where the Most High dwells. And when Jesus ascended to heaven and left us with the Holy Spirit, he unleashed his presence into our hearts. It says in Scripture, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit lives in you? Jesus specifically revealed the Holy Spirit is that means of grace who causes rivers of living water to flow from our hearts. And all those who trust in God, we have the peaceful presence of God within us. In the midst of trouble, quietness in the center of a war zone, rest in the riot. And in the midst of trouble, we are invited to be sheltered from the storm because we know that we will not fall. In verse 5, the psalmist writes, God is within her, she will not fall. On Wednesday, June 15th, 2011, as many of you may remember, a riot broke out in Vancouver. Immediately after Boston beat the Vancouver Canucks in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. At least 140 people were reported injured, and 100 people were arrested. It was not our shining moment. In the center of the chaos, Alexander Thomas and Scott Jones were afraid. They were filled with a sense of fear for their safety. They were struck by police shields, and they were pushed to the ground. When Alexandra fell, her boyfriend, Scott, doubled back to help her. As Alexandra shook on the ground, Scott attempted to calm and comfort her. At some point, he planted a kiss. A camera clicked, and a captivating photo circulated around the world. Sports Illustrated called it the most compelling sports image of the year. It was a tender and intimate moment caught on camera. For us in Scripture, God assures us, do not fear, for I am with you. God promises his love, loving protection of us in the very center of trouble. He wants to cover us and protect us. He wants to be our shelter from the storm. In the midst of a riot, all Alexandra needed to do was accept the loving protection of her boyfriend, Thomas. She didn't need to take on the police. All she needed to do was trust the person who loved her and desired to protect her. It wasn't about a fight. It was about a kiss. In the center of the storm, we can sing with confidence, we will not fight. In verse 10, we read, be still and know that I am God. It says in our psalm, be still. The Hebrew word for be still is rapha, and it speaks of relaxing and letting go. In our psalm, it literally means to cease striving. Now, isn't that our natural inclination when we experience trouble? It's to rage against the storm. We strive, we raise up our arms, we form a fist, and we fight. God invites us to drop our arms and to release and to let go. He wants us to be vulnerable so he can be the victor in our lives. There's a story in Scripture of Jesus and his disciples, and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. And waters come over the bow, and seasoned sailors are fearful for their lives because the boat's being flooded by water, and they're being flooded by fear. Jesus is found in the stern, sleeping, and I love this, the text says, on a cushion. And his disciples wake him up, and they're upset. And they say, Jesus, how could you be sleeping with this wind and this waves? Jesus gets up, addresses the wind and waves, and says this, that's enough. be still. And then Jesus returns to his disciples, and he says, how can you be so afraid after all you've seen? Where is your faith? Jesus was inviting his disciples to Psalm 46, trust. The triple homicide of my close friends caught the attention of our local newspaper, the Barrie Examiner. Their front cover page was Celebration of Life. The story was describing the joyful atmosphere of my friend Scott's funeral. I can still remember the tears of a friend beside me at the funeral while he was raising his arms, and he was also smiling at the same time. What a beautiful combination, tears and smiles. God was with us, and it was baffling that we could experience so much joy and peace. Scott's father asked some of us to plan the funeral the way that Scott would appreciate. And yes, Ooh Child was played, and many other upbeat songs. I always remember this older lady walking in the entrance a little bit late, and she slowly started to turn around. I was able to grab her by the arm and ask her if I could help. And she said, oh no, dear, I was looking for a funeral. There's just something about God's presence that in the midst of trouble, you are filled with hope. The man who was sentenced to life for killing Scott, Pam, and Ellsworth was locked up in the Barrie jail, where my mom happened to be the librarian and volunteer coordinator. As my mom packed up the contents of 138 Peel Street, she took Ellsworth's Bibles and donated them to the jail. So when Eric Ross, Ellsworth's murderer, asked for a Bible, my mom gave Ellsworth a Bible from his personal library. Upon the request of Scott's father, Phil, my mom arranged for him to meet with his murderer, the murderer of his son, in prison. Phil let Eric know that God forgave him, and so did he. And he articulated that God's love was knocking at his door. A tangible expression of streams of living water flowing into his jail cell. God is with us. Jesus is the personification of this psalm. He is our shelter from our storm. God's presence drives away fear. As we were recently reminded in Psalm 23, God desires to lead us to a place where we can enjoy his presence and we can know him like a stream of living water. Stillness is restorative. Slowing down to be with Jesus will free us from fear. It will lead us into this baffling, surpassing place of peace. We fear no evil because God is with us. I find spiritual practices help me to be still, to help me to stop striving and to let God fight for me. The prayer of examine has become a life-giving practice for me. It's a practice where you review your day and you pay attention to what God is doing and what God has done in your life. And I will, each evening, I'll take some time before I end my day, and I will simply breathe in and breathe out. And I will just rest. And the first step I take is to simply acknowledge that God is present and embrace his love of me. Sometimes I'll put on a candle. I like instrumental music. And in those moments, I'll review my dominant emotions of that day. And I will acknowledge them, and then I will surrender them to God. I end every day with a sense of gratitude and anticipation for the next day. I just love the phrasing of Psalm 46 in the book, Psalms for Young Children. If the ground starts to shake, if the mountains break into pieces and fall into the sea, if the waves grow big as giants, I'm not scared. God is with me. God provides a safe place for me to hide. God is with me, and God is with you. God is your shelter from your storm. He wants to provide that for you as you trust him. And the invitation is for all of us. I'm so glad the psalmist penned the words, "The God of Jacob is our fortress." Jacob's life is a story full of ups and downs, a family full of drama and crisis, deceptions and conflict, colliding personalities that roar and foam. Jacob's troubled life did not stop him from pursuing the sheltering love of God. God was his shelter. And remember the refrain. The psalmist is intentional in repeating these words. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I like the Voice translation. The true God of Jacob is our shelter, close to his heart. Close to his heart. As a father, one of my greatest joys has been to be present at the birth of my two sons. I've had the thrill of catching both of my boys in my hands. I'm going to be honest with you. It's beautiful, but that moment was painful. And I don't mean for my wife, Carla. I mean for me. It was chaotic, and it was confusing. And in many ways, the chaos was significant. But the transition of labor is a beautiful thing, from that final push to the delivery. There is this beautiful thing that happens. I'll never forget grabbing my son, Julian, and being able to put him close to Carla's heart and to have her hold on to him. The moment went from complete, total chaos to peace personified. God wants to pull you close to his heart. Are you willing to trust him in your storm as your shelter? Do you long for the streams of God's grace in your life? It was Jesus who said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This is an invitation to trust. Jesus invites you to put your arms down, to simply trust. As we close, I'm going to play part of a song, and I would like to lead us in a short prayer. I want to invite you to close your eyes and move into a posture of stillness. Let's breathe together deeply in and out. Breathe in and out.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Someday we'll get it together and we'll get it all done. Someday when your head is much lighter. Of a beautiful sun. Someday when the much brighter.
Today you may be in the middle of a storm. Chaos and confusion encircle your life. Jesus is calling you to him. His invitation is for you to simply trust his presence. Trust that he is more than enough. So I want to give you a moment to let go. Are you ready to put your arms down and to let God love you? Are you ready to give up control and trust that God is in your boat? Are you ready to surrender your relationship, your business, your health, your career? If so, I invite you to pray these simple words. Lord, I surrender this area of my life, you fill it in, to you today. Give me the strength to let go. Give me the strength to surrender. Give me the strength to stop holding on. And we pray, Lord, that you fill all of us with the presence of your loving Spirit. Amen.